Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. It is 6:06 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida, the intergalactic headquarters of the Home and Garden Show. To our friends, to our fans, to our families, welcome back to the show. We have missed you. To those of you new to the show, here's who we are and what we do. Each and every Saturday, right here on News 104.5 WOKV, I'm joined by the big guy, Sasquatch, yeah, the Yeti, 6'6", 232 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, Mr. Larry O'Neill. You know Larry from his duties on TV as the host of Larry's Garden. You've seen him about town landscaping. He's the tall, tall man in the small straw hat. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, certified master inspector from Home Pro Inspections. You've seen me on TV as the house detective and possibly about town if you spend time in attics and crawl spaces. Larry's job here on the show is to be sure your grass is green, your fruit is sweet, and your flowers forever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, my job is to be sure your home is safe, secure, efficient, and forever a source of pleasure and pride. From time to time, Larry gets a house idea, I get a garden idea, and we mix it up in the middle. But what makes this show fun for us is you. Your thoughts, your calls, your commentary, 855-765-1045. I'll give it to you again slower. You can put it in your phone. It's good all the time. 855-765-1045. And a special shout out to our friends who are listening at WOKV.com or the live stream on Facebook or the YouTube live stream. We appreciate you from wherever in the world you are. And that number, toll free from everywhere, 855-765-1045. Sasquatch, large man, tell me the gardening adventures of the week.
There's a lot of adventures that are going on now. We're having a serious drought, you know. If you're building a new house, you know, you've got the irrigation plan in front of you and you're kind of getting some ideas, you know, it really becomes noticeable now because we're having this drought that maybe you should divide your irrigation between your shrub borders and your grass.
Good plan.
And also dividing your shade zones between your sun zones. Because right now, you know, you could practically, you know, not change too much of the water requirements of your shaded St. Augustine areas or shaded Zoysia areas. But now in the sun, you're going to need a lot of more water. So, you know, it's very important to understand that when you're putting in a new irrigation system, if you're going to have some input and you're hiring someone to do it, you know, making sure that they understand dividing the shade zones of your grass between the sun and the shade, getting those two zones on two different working separately.
What's the consequence of overwatering in this hot shade?
Well, and the consequence of it is pretty serious, you know, because it is, the shade zones are going to get way too much water, okay? And that's going to cause fungus, root rot, all different kinds of issues, you know. Overwatering, I would say, is worse than underwatering.
Sure.
Okay. So when you're having that done, you know, separate the shade zones from the sun zones. It's very important. And plus, not only that, if you're running on city water, you're going to save a ton of money.
That's important.
You're going to be overwatering the shade zones, which don't need any more water. I mean, practically speaking, you know, in the shade, the St. Augustine right now, even with a drought, doesn't need any more, too much more water. Well, in the sun, it needs a lot.
Right.
So, and if you're dealing with the Zoysia lawns and you want to really, you know, say, I don't want to really water too much, you know, you can let your Zoysia lawn go without water for about 80 days.
Let it get a little crispy.
It's going to turn brown. Don't worry about it. It's going to turn brown. But as soon as it gets water again, it's going to green up. The difference between St. Augustine and Zoysia is Zoysia has a capability of going heat dormant because it has its structure underground versus St. Augustine will stay green longer. But when it goes, it doesn't have a heat dormancy.
Once it browns out, it's
dead. It's dead. Yeah. You can have Zoysia lawns go, you know, completely brown out. If you're getting your Zoysia lawn maybe a half an inch every couple weeks of water, it's going to survive. And then you a little bit of fertilizer, it will green right up. And I got some good news.
What is it?
You know, that this they're developed by Scotts Miracle-Gro is a new St. Augustine grass. It's a big, derivative of a Floritam. It's genetically altered.
What makes it special?
You can spray Roundup on it.
Why would I want to do that? Oh, well, kill weeds.
Yeah, kill weeds. Yeah, you know, because it's called ProVista, and it's darker green, and it grows 40% slower. So you could mow your lawn, get the same growth out of that grass as you would get in 4 weeks that you would get in 1 week in your regular Floritam.
Yeah.
So it's about the same. So you can mow the lawn maybe once every 2 weeks and you cut your mowing down. That means the lawn people aren't going to like it because they're going to only have to come every 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
But, and then the thing that always has plagued, St. Augustine is Torpedo Grass and Common Bermuda. Once you get that, it's yours to keep, you know, but, now with, ProVista St. Augustine, it's going to be able to take care of that.
Is it easy to get?
No, it's going to be a little more difficult to get, and it's going to cost more money. You know what I mean? It's a licensed. You know, all the new products are all going to be patented.
Sure.
And so they're going to have a lot of license to propagate, and all these other things that they try to do to earn back what they've invested in. But it's a genetically altered, and also it grows more horizontal. So it's going to be
I mean, the runners are more aggressive?
More horizontal, yeah. Well, St. Augustine normally grows more vertical. It's a more vertical, upright grower. Well, the other grass is a little going to be more horizontal.
Has it got a nicer texture? I've never enjoyed the texture.
It's about the same texture, but it is much darker green. Much darker green and requiring a lot less fertilizer. So I'd say probably around, it could go with 50% less fertilizer than a St. Augustine. So
that starts to get rather cost effective. Less water, less fertilization.
And less mowing.
Less mowing.
So if you could practically have your guy come, you know, if you didn't mind it getting a little long, maybe once every 3 weeks, you know, so you can save, if you got a big lawn, you're saving $300 a month, you know, so. Yeah. And then the water's about.
How's it
the
do in the winter?
It's a typical St. Augustine.
Different.
Yeah,
okay.
It can get browned out, you know, if we have a lot of.
What is the downside? You know, every time we, not just with plants, it's
right.
With everything, when we accentuate one particular mm-hmm. aspect mm-hmm. of it, usually there's another downside. Is it maybe more
bugs? That's to be discovered.
Bugs, maybe?
No. It has the same type of bug problem and everything. Right. It's not. The only thing is going to add less fertilizer. Probably, I would say probably around 20-30% darker green without any additional fertilizer. It is glyphosate tolerant. You got to use 41%, and it grows more horizontal, so it's more dense and then less.
What's your swag on the expense? 10%, 5%.
Probably going to be around 20%
more. 20%
more. 20% more. Yeah, and it's going to be hard to get. You know, so for a while, you know, it's going to sell out. You know, the people, you know, anything like new, you know, just like when you have a new iPhone, you know, remember the iPhones used to come out, you couldn't get one for a while, you know, until.
So this, with it being a bit more rare, is it brought in from a different state or is it somewhere local? Or?
Yeah, well, no, it's not local. It's grown down south. Grown down south. Pretty good distance. So it's going to, you know, it's going to be additional shipping and all that other stuff. But, you know, if you can control weeds, you can use less water, less mowing, it will definitely pay for itself. It's just like the difference between clay pavers and brick pavers. I mean, concrete pavers.
Right.
There are more additional costs up front, but the 10-year ownership, you're going to spend less on clay pavers, and they're going to look better. And they're going to look better. They're going to look better. No matter what you pour into on maintenance on concrete pavers, they're not going to be as good as clay paver.
I wouldn't spend my own money on concrete paver.
Right, yeah, it's I mean, I understand people buy it because it's a good application of color and that's what they like and all those other things. But, you know, in the practical sense, when you look at the dollars
and you're getting in and getting out, you know, you say, oh, I'm going to get in the house this year. I'm out of here in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I talked to a guy who's a retired Army colonel. He says, he's around 80-something years old, wants to put a new driveway, and says, well, I don't have to worry about 10 more years.
Maybe he'll get
just
lucky.
Just give me the concrete. I said, okay, I understand. You know what I mean? So, you know, the one I was planting redwoods. You know, we used to plant a lot of redwood. And they said, well, that tree gets big, yeah. Yeah, about 1,000 years. You don't have to worry. You're not going to have to worry about that, sir. You know, let the next owner in 1,000 years worry about trying to take that thing down. But you're going to be good for the next 100 years. Okay.
So what else did you see out there interesting?
Well, a lot of things going on out there in shrubbery too. Yes, this drought. You know, people are trying to put more water on their plants. And so, but I've gotten a list of plants that of shrubs that you can get on no prune and also no water. No water. The pittosporum is probably one of the most drought resistant plants. You know, in California, where I'm originally from, the pittosporum is a great plant. Shrub doesn't, you know, go 10 inches of rain there. And, it's a tough, tough plant. But, I looked at pittosporum that we even took out a container and the containers were completely dry. It's a great plant to plant once it gets established. It doesn't really need much water. And then the best one to grow, really, if you wanted to stay low and compact, more difficult to get to, is called a Wheeler's Wharf. Only get around 2 feet tall. More spreading in a dark, dark green. Really great plant. And then one of our native plants, Carissa Holly, getting around 2 feet tall. Again, no water. No water. And low prune. These are the ones that you're not going to have to manage with a lot of pruning. And then Iliagnus. Now, Iliagnus has got a bad reputation. You get those things.
What caused the bad reputation?
It grows like a mutant giant. You know what I mean? It grows fast. But if you get the glens,
why is that bad?
Well, you know, because if you want to, it's probably more aggressive than viburnum. You know, which grows about, you know, during the summer. But if you get the Glen St. Mary compacta, you know, which is a namesake of our own Glen St. Mary's area nursery, well, all just nurseries in the state of Florida, it's very slow growing, okay? And it needs no water. It doesn't need any water. Once you plant it, it can go without any irrigation. It can live on just these plants here. If you want to really make your landscape low water, it's the main thing is planting the right plants. And these plants right here are going to go with no water. You know, you can run the water. Let's say we're having a drought and you want them to look is better than the drought conditions. You can water them once every 3 weeks, a good watering every 3 weeks. On the watering, too, you want to make sure that you, on the water issues on this grass, because St. Augustine's really taking a beating now, is you want to keep your lawn mowed tall. You don't want to let it get any shorter than 4 inches. Let it grow a little bit
more. Make some shade for itself.
And also, the roots go deep, deep. Okay, so, and then when you water it, you make sure you get a good amount of water on it. Okay, because we're down to two days a week, you know, which is...
Are there any irrigation controllers that measure the water by volume of water rather than just time?
Yeah. You have irrigation, you have a rain sensor, you can put a rain sensor.
There's a moisture
sensor.
But if I said I went, okay, in this particular area, based on its square footage and what I've got there, I need...
Well, you know how many gallons
900 gallons.
You know how many gallons a minute you're putting out on the heads. Okay, you say you're putting out 3 gallons a minute, you know you put out... How many gallons you put out,
and then you got
how many square feet it's covering, then you can figure it out.
I was real involved at one point.
But there is systems you can put on an expensive, you can tell how many gallons you need to put out there.
The Water Smart system.
Right, right.
We were involved in that about 10 years ago, and everything was in gallons, not in time.
Right,
so
right.
How many heads, what's the area,
what do we need? Right, that is a better way to do it. That is a better way to do it.
So even if the homeowner didn't do it, you would think the irrigation contractor, landscape contractor, as they're designing the system,
Right.
Is thinking about water distribution, not just time.
Right, right. Yes, that is a good point. Absolutely.
It's 620 here at News 104.5 on Home and Garden Show. Brief break, jumping right to your calls at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show. 625 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. And joining us with a question about watering grass is Jesse. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show, Jesse.
Hey, thank you. Good morning, guys.
What type of grass do you have?
St. Augustine.
What was your question, Jesse?
Well, I got the zones on three times a week now at about 30 minutes a zone. And, you know, I like looking at everybody's yard when I'm driving through the neighborhood. And I was talking to one of the neighbors who had a really good-looking yard, and he said he has his own two times a week. At 40 minutes a zone, and I've got mine three times a week at 30 minutes a zone.
Right.
And I don't know which one is better.
The deeper watering is better. The more
two times a week, 40 minutes,
right.
Probably.
When you're watering, just to take an example, if you got a half inch of thatch or a little bit less, you know, you water for 30 minutes, that's, you know, the thatch is going to absorb a certain percentage of it. Okay, and then the other portion is going to get to the grass. So you know, so he's going to get the thatch moist, and then he's going to get deeper penetration. So more deeper watering, more time, and maybe a little less frequency. Okay?
Okay. Well, that's what I heard when you said 2 days. I was like, all right, that guy's probably right.
Right.
I'm wrong.
Yeah, and if it doesn't work, then bump up another 5 minutes until you find the right spot. And then you'll have, of course, when it starts raining, to adjust down. You know, you don't ever think about it when it's, you know, when it starts raining again, because you're not noticing the grass, you're not thinking about the grass, but it's a good time to adjust down to save money and water.
Absolutely. I always cut it off whenever it rains. Yeah. I try to save the money. And also, the salt, I was cleaning out my water softener.
Yeah.
And got some salt on the grass, and my God, it's killed a spot about 5 feet. In diameter. Does salt kill grass that bad?
Oh, yeah. Salt water you cannot use on plants.
They don't like it.
Salt is, you know, when the Romans destroyed Carthage, they salted the earth. You know, so they couldn't grow anything there for decades, you know what I mean? So it's a very effective way to kill the grass.
Am I ever going to get grass to grow?
It'll flush right out. Just put the hose on it a couple times and, you know, really let it soak out. It'll flush out.
Okay. All right. Great.
All right. Have a great day.
Yes, sir. You too.
Bye. Thanks.
That's why it's nice to keep your water softener inside.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have that opportunity to keep it in the garage, it protects the equipment. It's easier to care for.
Out of the sun, you know. It's much. Anything we've observed over the years of looking at houses, that even the air conditioning in the shade, water softener in the house, all these things are great ideas. You know, another thing, you know, you're always talking about, you know, keeping the water off the house.
Yeah.
You know, consider drip line irrigation on houses. You know, around the house.
Consider that should be the norm.
Oh, right. Because you can run, you know, now it's droughty like this. The key thing when you're considering drip line irrigation is getting the irrigation, the drip line that has the most gallons per minute. Okay, because what happens, this very slow-flowing drip line, it gets calcified really quickly.
Tiny holes.
Yeah, the stuff that has a good amount of volume flowing through there fairly rapidly, it's not going to be really rapid, but a fair amount of pace, it's not going to get calcified. And there's a big difference. I had three different types of drip line. The one the contractor installed at the house, that I'm working at, the one that I bought that I thought, okay, this is a good brand, I'm going to get it. It was terrible. And the one I've always used, which is more expensive but much better. You know, so they're not all the same. No, but take some time and it's very easy to do.
Get the good stuff. It's 6:30 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back.
Hello. helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show. It is 6:35 here at News 104.5. I'd like to thank you for being with us. Love to hear from you. That phone number is this phone number, 855-765-1045. And a reminder, should you need a little landscape consultation or even the physical work itself,
yep,
easy to find all the time online, larrysgarden.com. He's got the blog, video, frequently asked questions, somewhere close to 2,000 yeah, active garden bloggers all interacting and doing good things together. Larry also has a telephone, 346-1970. If you're outside of the immediate Jacksonville area, you'll need the area code 904-346-1970. Me, Wally Conway, easy to find all the time online. GoHomePro.com. Everything you need, your due diligence process for your home purchase, home selling, commercial buildings, and whatnot. That phone number is 904-268-8211. And we have operators always standing by. Get you all scheduled. Take great care of you. That's a good thing. Generators.
Yeah.
Generators. Here at the Home and Garden
Getting
Show.
Getting about that season.
It is. 1 June begins hurricane season, and we'll see a giant media push at that point from, you know, all our affiliate stations here and our TV stations here and newspapers. Everybody's going to be pushing hurricanes next week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good time to go shop for a generator and get out ahead. Here's the reminder about the generator. You know, the only time you need a generator is when power's gone down, things are a little bit crazy in the universe. The last thing you want to do is hurt yourself with your generator mm-hmm. at a time where the first responders are out doing other things.
They're busy.
Not only are they busy, depending on the scenario, they can't even get to you.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you be safe with your generator? First and foremost is electrical safety, which means none of this nonsense where you backfeed into your dryer. You need to have a proper connection so you can safely get the power from the generator into your panel.
And simple.
Yes. Yes. So
make life simple.
Yep. And to be honest, it's not a do-it-yourselfer project.
Right.
It requires an electrical permit. It requires an electrician. It's not expensive to do correctly, depending how sophisticated you are. It's maybe $500.
Right.
Often it can be less, but basically $500 to $1,000, depending on the sophistication. Next level of safety is carbon monoxide. You've got to be sure that you position your generator, assuming it's portable, away from windows, away from areas where there can be an intake. Every year we have a horrible thing happen. You know, somebody positions their generator underneath a window air conditioner.
Right.
So their portable generator wasn't large enough to power the whole house. So they got a nice little portable air conditioner,
right,
and they stick the generator underneath of it, they suck it in, and they die a cold death, which is really a good thing because you don't rot as fast. You're in the nice cool. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And there's other minor hazards. You know, you don't want to get burned and other goofy things, but it's so important that you do that in a safe and proper way. Electrical safety, carbon monoxide. So please, please, please do that.
Right. Right.
Do that. I'm a big fan in my own home. The way my portable generator feeds my panel, it feeds the entire panel.
It's just a quick switch, right? I mean,
it's a switch. It's a lockout switch. And what happens is it makes sure the way this lockout switch works is you must have JEA power secured, your main breaker. It secures your main breaker goes off. And then the breaker to the generator comes on. It's one hand.
It's on one hand. It's sailor proof.
It is. Yeah, it's to protect you and your home as well as the utility workers. You don't want to come back out to restore power.
Right, right.
Not expensive, easy to operate. And in my own home, it's always set up. So
right,
the cord's already plugged in. The cord then is it's an old boat cord.
Right.
So it's a nice flexible yellow cord mm-hmm. so I can see it. The cord stays wrapped right on top of the generator.
Right.
I've got my generator has fuel in it with stabilizer in it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've got more fuel there all stabilized. So when the power goes out in less than 2 minutes, all you need to do is walk out, roll it outside of the garage door, close the garage door, boom, fires right off. Now I've got power, hit the switch.
So you have a portable one?
I do have a portable one.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
At one time, the reason I chose the portable was so I could take it between the house and the office.
Right.
And I realized quite rapidly that was a pain in the behind. So,
yeah. But loading that thing up is, yeah.
Yeah, and mine is, I guess you'd say mid-size amongst the portables. It's 7,500 watts. So it will run every single thing in the house except the air conditioning. Just not at the same
75
time.
75 watts. Okay, run every appliance, everything. Yeah.
So yeah.
Run the kitchen stuff for a while.
I can cook. Actually, Tanya can cook.
Okay.
We can cook, or we can make hot water, or we can do anything. And I can actually run the smaller AC that's on the second floor.
Right.
However, it's intermittent, you know, it kind of.
So do you have a swamp cooler in there, or where you could, you know, how? What are you going to cool? Use a cool without off that?
To cool what?
Your house when you.
I have two air conditioners.
Oh, but does it run your air conditioning?
It will run one upstairs, the smaller one.
Okay, okay.
But if I do that, I can't do anything else because it's right on the cusp of having the capability. And really.
So what is a portable air conditioner? I mean, portable general like that, you normally run a price range?
$500 or $600.
That's reasonable.
Well under $1,000.
You'll enjoy it if we have a power outage, definitely. You can run the air conditioner.
Yeah.
A little swamp cooler. What are those little swamp coolers use in wattage?
The swamp coolers?
Those little small window coolers, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's different than a swamp cooler.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, they're less than 15 amps. They plug into a normal outlet.
Oh,
you just buy a small one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a little 8,000 to two.
Cool.
Knock off the master suite.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
That's it. You can hang out there until we get regular power, yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
And the truth of it is, especially with a two-story like we've got, if you knock the temperature down, and in our case it would be in the guest room, you knock the temperature down, once the sun goes down by 10 o'clock at night,
yeah,
you can shut everything down and you're just fine.
Right, right.
Just
right.
Fine. But when it's...
Maybe turn a fan on or something like that.
Well, I don't sleep with a generator on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Some people do.
Yeah.
But you're consuming a lot of power. Not a lot of power, but a lot of fuel.
Yeah.
And whatnot. The other advantage of being able to power the entirety of the house is anytime you have your generator on, you're making cold.
Right.
So like let's say you get up in the morning and you want a little hot water, you're making breakfast, you're also chilling things a little bit.
Right.
And then if you want to watch the news and see what's going on, you're chilling again.
Right.
So in our modern refrigerators, they keep things really cool, especially if you got it all packed full of stuff, which you always do pre-storm.
Right.
So you're retaining all that stuff, and you're making lots of ice and lots of good stuff. So, but the biggest thing is, more than the convenience, is being safe.
Right, right.
You know? You know, I'll tell you, the crazier danger, and you know a lot about this, is chainsaws.
Oh, yeah.
Now's the time to get your chainsaw, get it sharpened up, make sure it's going to run. Got your fuel all mixed and ready to go, and then be wise about your use of chainsaw.
If you want to be a little more safe about chainsaws, I'm going to make a recommendation to homeowners: get a pole saw, because the reason I say get a pole saw, it's not as capable as a chainsaw because
and you're further away from the business end.
Further away from the business end, exactly. And they're pretty effective. They're they go through chains more quickly than a regular. Chainsaw.
Why is that, I wonder?
I have no idea, but they just seem to wear out a little more fast.
Maybe because the chain is a little
smaller. So it's doing a little more.
Each tooth is seeing wood more often.
Well, yeah, so that's probably it right there. But it's a fairly effective, and you can get down, you can cut some big, pretty good branches, just take a little more time. But making sure you have a sharp chain is the number one thing.
Yeah.
More people get, you know, whacked with a chainsaw, you know, permanently, you know, underground with chainsaws.
And eye protection, ear protection.
Kevlar. To the best thing is if you're an amateur, you know.
I am.
Just get yourself a Kevlar chaps or Kevlar. They come with a sweater or for your sleeves and your arms. It's amazing that Kevlar will stop a chainsaw blade.
Huh.
You know, definitely.
That's interesting. You know, I keep my my ear protection and my eye protection right where my generator and my other stuff is, so I never have to look for it.
Right.
And I've just built that habit, even with my backpack blower.
Right.
I have the eye protection, I have the ear protection. It all sits in the same spot, so it's easy.
Yes.
I have gloves there, too.
Yeah. Get some Kevlar. It's not that expensive.
I bet it is expensive.
It's about $100, you know, $100.
Really? Oh, that's much less than
$100 for taps, you know what I mean? I think that's what I paid for them, I think. Yeah. And they're fairly comfortable. Just put them on the front. You know, they just could do the, like, you know, chaps, and then you get a sweater.
Looks like a cowboy.
Kevlar arms on it. And
cowboy toting a chainsaw.
I've seen Kevlar where they've been hit by a chainsaw, stops them dead. It just, you're not going to get any, it would normally would be a serious, serious wound. No problem. You walk away from it. It's like having a flak jacket or a body armor. You know, it's amazing.
As long as it hits the right spot.
Yeah, well, there's some open areas, but usually I looked at it. I think they were having a convention that, you know, how many right arm injuries and left leg injuries. There's quite a few.
I'm still going to be careful.
Yeah. Pole saw. That's the best thing right there. You know, people out there working on the lawns and thinking about what to do about weed control right now. When it's 90 something degrees, you know, it's very hazardous to spray herbicide. Most herbicides cannot be sprayed at this temperature.
Back to reading the directions?
Right. Most of them can't. But, you know, some of the things, if you're using Celsius, it has a higher temperature rating than a lot of other herbicides. One of the key things is making sure if you're going to do it at the, you know, cusp of the limit, is that making sure your lawn is irrigated. You know, well irrigated. Now we're having a drought.
Prior to application or once?
No, they want it completely without water stress. Okay. Herbicide is, put stress on grass and, it will cause it to, you know, go sideways. If you got droughted grass, you put herbicide on it, that can definitely kill it. Okay. Even though it says it's made for that type of grass. So you want to make sure that your grass is well watered. If you have problems with, you know, dollar weed, you know, Celsius is good. Also, dove weed, you know, atrazine is a very good herbicide on those type of weeds, atrazine. But again, you're going to be limited by temperature. So if you see we're having a cooling trend and it's getting under, let's say, in the 80s, you're going to be good. Okay, the 85 is a limit on atrazine, so you don't want to spray it any higher than that. On so dove weed, Virginia buttonweed, Manor is a good herbicide for that one, because there's a lot of Virginia buttonweed out there. And if the problem with Virginia buttonweed is that when you mow it and you cut a little segment of it and you don't mulch it up and leave it on the ground, it's rooted in a week.
Wow.
You know, so that stuff is tough.
Can you use it as a ground cover?
Yeah, you can use it as a ground cover. So you want to make sure that if you keep it in control when you have an issue, and then some pre-emergent that will stop the expansion of it. Once you get a good foothold, it's a lot more work to get rid of it. So keep your lawn watered right now, and then avoid herbicide and look at other things to do. But to help it is by mowing it a little bit longer.
Mowing it longer.
Mowing it longer.
Letting the grass be taller to suppress weed growth.
Now even the zoysia is going to be much better off by mowing it a little bit taller right now.
Yeah, I think people forget about that. The first defense against weeds is a lush, healthy lawn.
Right.
So it's a competitive world.
Right, right.
So only the strong survive.
Right.
The stronger you make your lawn, you can just beat up on those wimpy weeds. When your lawn gets wimpy, the weeds take over.
And then if you're fertilizing it, you know, so there's some damage right now. And if you planned on fertilizing it this month, go ahead and fertilize it. You know, make sure you're using slow release. But so when the water comes again, it's going to start raining shortly. You know, it has plenty of food to recover. It's going to need some energy to recover and to grow. So, you know, keep that in mind also. Zoysia, mill, organite, and you'll be great.
It sounds good. It's 6:50 here at News 104.5 on a Home and Garden Show. Brief break. We'll be jumping right on the phones to your calls at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Show 6:55 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here enjoying the day together, taking your calls at 855-765-1045. Let's check in with Harry, see if we can help him with his fertilizer. Welcome, Harry.
Good morning. So I got a song for you.
Sing it.
Raking thatch in the hot sun. I fought the lawn and the lawn won.
Good job. Good job. So what are you utilizing, Harry?
Yeah. Okay. So hey, this is a weird question. You guys know about Roundup, glyphosate or glyphosate or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Monsanto came out with glyphosate, and they use it for weed killer and stuff like that. And when they put it down on the ground, then you had to wait like a couple of weeks to grow, to put crops and to plant the crops and everything. Right. So the farmers said, you know, that's taken a lot of time. And so Monsanto obliged by making genetically modified crops that are Roundup resistant. Mm-hmm. So now they can plant the crops and then throw Roundup on top of it. And, you know, the crops come up and it's better yield and all that stuff.
Yes.
So then people were saying, yeah, now we're finding out that we've got Roundup in our food supply and it's showing up in people. And that brings me to a friend of mine who said, you know, at the Jacksonville Zoo and Botanical Gardens, they use the Zoodoo, you know, the Zoopoo.
Zoopoo.
Right, because, I mean, you got elephants, so you got all that supply right there, right?
Well, you get rid of it.
They were finding out that that what they do is they would compost that stuff, and after a month or so, then they would use it on the plants, and they were finding out that the plants weren't doing very well, and they realized with chemical analysis that there was actually glyphosate in the Zoodoo. So they have to like compost it for six or months or longer now to burn out all the. Okay, well, so that brings me up to, now I've heard a rumor that some of the natural fertilizers you buy, like black cow and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
They're not from free-range grass-fed cattle.
No, it comes from feedlots.
Yeah, and so they're saying now that there's Roundup in the black cow, and when you use it for fertilizer, it's not doing as well, you know, to fertilize the lawn as it used to. And so I was just wondering, Larry, if you've heard this and if you know anything about it.
Well, I've never, you know, a lot of people say a lot of things. I read something, even when I read something, I decided which side's publishing it. The Monsanto side or the, you know, never use fungicide, never use anything, and let's, you know, walk to work every day. You know, but they usually drive SUVs.
I walk to work.
But so somewhere in the middle is the truth, you know what I mean? And I do notice that not scientifically noticed, you know, not rated, but I do notice when I use Bicow, the plants respond better. So I would doubt that be the case, you know, but.
I've always used it and I've always had pretty good luck with it. In fact, sometimes if I have like a dead spot in my lawn or something like that, or a depression somewhere, I'll just fill it in with Bicow and then the grass kind of spreads into it and it seems to do pretty well. But I was concerned because now I've heard this rumor that, don't use that stuff anymore because it's got Roundup in it.
Well, I mean, on the glyphosate thing, I've read a new couple cases that they have won. The Monsanto has won two or new cases. And the ones that won in California, the judgments have been radically reduced to almost nothing compared to what they originally got. And still, the federal government, you know, who researches glyphosate and the EPA says there is no harm from this. That's what they say. So somewhere in the middle is probably the truth. So Monsanto has won a couple of new cases. The other cases are getting less and less. And I'm not quite sure. The only thing is, you know, us in between, or we're the consumers, you know, just follow the directions, you know, use rubber gloves when you do it. Make sure you're not standing downwind when you're spraying it. Just common sense and reduce your exposure. And that's always the best thing to do, you know?
Well, I wasn't worried so much about my exposure as I was worried about, is it going to actually, you know, not work on the grass or hurt the grass?
I've put it on plants and it looks like it does amazing, you know? So,
okay.
Yeah.
Thanks a bunch, Harry.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Good input.
It's 7 a.m. here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you. Here comes that call-in number, 855-765-1045. Stay with us right back.
helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. It is 7:08 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to the Home and Garden Show. Home and Garden Show is heard every single Saturday from 6 a.m. until 8 a.m. right here on News 104.5 WOKV. The Home and Garden Show features Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden, who brings to us 20-plus years toiling in the soil so our grass becomes green, our fruit stays sweet, and our flowers are ever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections, bringing you 20-plus years crawling about in attics and crawl spaces and discovering things about homes and then providing solutions to those home buyers, sellers, and others in need. If you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. That phone number is 855-765-1045. Checking in with David. He's got some thoughts on a generator. Welcome, David.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Good morning. Good
day. Awesome day. Great. Thanks.
Great. Hey, Wally, I was like you. I had a regular gas-powered generator for a while, but a few years ago, I did some research and saved up some money and got a 3,000-watt inverter-based generator. And then there's a guy in Pinellas County has a nice little extended-run fuel tank kit. I ran my house during Irma for 50 hours on 10 gallons of fuel. I was able to run all my 110 loads, window AC unit, refrigerator. I turned the fridge off to do the microwave, ceiling fans. It's quiet. It's clean power. I could sleep through it. I could stand next to it and talk over it.
Is that the Yamaha?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a beautiful piece of gear. How much is it?
I spent about $2,000 for a 3,000-watt generator.
Yeah.
3,000-watt. Wow, that's
yeah.
3,000 isn't all that large, but it sounds like that you're segregating your loads in a way that it's working out for you. So that's great. I love that generator. It isn't really a generator; it's an inverter the way it works.
Okay.
But it's a beautiful product. It's quiet. They're extremely reliable. That is a great product. It's just a bit more expensive than some of the others.
It is, and for most people, I live in an old part of Arlington with a lot of overhead power lines. So when we get a storm, a lot of old trees, imagine what happens then.
Yeah, I've got the same situation.
Yeah, a lot of trees. When you're in a tree area, you know, you've got to figure you're going to have power outages.
How are you connecting that wonderful Yamaha generator? How are you connecting it to your panel? What's
I did that block out kit on my load center so that I can feed the panel. I turn off all my 220 breakers because all I have is 110, and I'm able to feed it. Actually, power all my 110 outlets. I just don't use them all at the same time.
Right.
So my regular light, my regular ceiling fans. We were comfortable. I had a window AC unit and ran fans. And with Irma, the weather wasn't like 100 degrees, 100% humidity either.
Right.
So that helps.
You know, there's one small downside to that Yamaha 3000 is it is only 110. So you can't make hot water so well or run your stove.
Yeah, but I don't want a hot shower in a hot day.
Yeah. Cold shower might help.
Yeah, thanks for checking in, Dave. That's a great product, the Yamaha generator. It's a wonderful product.
It's an investment, but again, where I live, I can anticipate having to use it more than most people might.
Well, hopefully we'll have good fortune this year, and you won't need to use it.
Exactly.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye. Over to Brian in Riverside's got the kudzu invasion. Uh-oh. Welcome, Brian.
Yeah, I've got a rental house in the San Marco area, and it's kind of a low area, a fair amount of moisture, but there's a tremendous infestation of kudzu in there. I mean, the guy kind of lets the lawn go sometimes. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But even the open part of the yard, I took a look back there, and it looked like it was so much kudzu. He said that it would take days and days to dig up all the kudzu. And what I'm wondering about, one thought I've had is that I don't know if he could if you could dig into it, expose the root, and then maybe take a paddle bit and drill a hole into the kudzu root bulb and dump something in there. So, I don't know.
That will work. You know, you could put some Roundup on the root ball. That would work. Or salt, you know, on that root ball. That would work. You can cut it down, spray it, or just some goats. Goats will demolish it. If it's a fenced-in area, there was a guy several years ago. He had a herd of goats, and you'd rent them out if you had a problem with weeds, and just let them go in that in your area, and they would just demolish everything. You know, goats will eat anything. But herbicide is good. You use Ortho Brush Killer, spray it on there, and then find out where it's rooted at, and you can use a little bit of Roundup on that area. Just spray the stem. Or you could immerse the stem in Roundup. That's another thing you can do. You know, digging it up, of course. Then, you know, you want to probably find, I've never had this question asked me before, but some pre-emergent you could put on the ground to make sure it doesn't, all the seed has been dropped over years. Doesn't, you know, once you clear it, it doesn't come back again because of seed, all the seeds. So that's another thing you could do on it.
When would the pre-emergent be?
In the spring. You want to use pre-emergent in the spring.
Is it too late now?
Yeah, it's too late now.
Too hot?
Well, it's just, you know, everything's emerged, you know what I mean? So use pre-emergent in the spring. If you've had areas where you've had habitual problems with weeds, pre-emergent is always a good thing to do. Except where...
I would think, though, that anything put on the ground that would kill the upper part of the plant would not have much of an effect on the root ball, or would it?
Oh, no, it does. It does. It's toxic. Oh. You could pour salt on it. You know what I mean? It's the salt on those root balls. That's pretty effective.
I was thinking, of just taking, like I said, just take a paddle bit, maybe drill an inch and a half hole into it and putting rock salt in it.
That will work too. You know, salt's a very effective herbicide, but it's not specific. It will get everything in its way, you know, so that's one reason they don't use it. But salt is a pretty effective herbicide.
Oh, you mean if I put salt in there, it might kill the grass surrounding the root ball?
Yes.
Too?
Oh, yeah. It will. So that'll let you know right there.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. You know, kudzu is a big problem.
Yeah.
But they've released, University of Florida released a certain insect that will skeletonize it. You know,
oh, more good news.
Yeah. I found it was working pretty good.
When's the University of Florida going to release an insect to eat the love bugs that they released?
They make a lot of mistakes, don't they?
Every now and then.
Sure. They make a fair. There's going to be error. There's going to be error.
You know,
if you're trying something, you know, there's going to be some mistakes.
So on this long weekend,
killer bees were South America. They're made in South America.
Memorial weekend. I'm spending 4 days on the boat. As you saw when I arrived this morning, I did not arrive by boat. Rather, my Uber driver brought me from the boat. But coming from Julington Creek over to the Ortega, I was surrounded by water.
Uh-huh.
And when I think about water and I see water, I think about drinking water.
Right.
That got me thinking more and more and more about the water that I drink in my own home and this whole issue of water treatment, water hardness.
Right.
And I'm grateful, you know, we have good access to the folks over at Affordable Water, so we can dig deep into some of these topics and get it going right. So here is the real approach to treating your water. All water treatment, this is really the position of the state of Florida, and it's executed by Affordable Water. Not many people execute the way they do because they kind of put sales above
right.
The real consultative type position. All water treatment at your home begins with softening. So you soften the water, and then that water is distributed everywhere in your home, so you gain that benefit.
Right.
You have reduced scale and hardness of
your clothes.
Your clothes are softer, your hair softer, if you happen to have hair. I don't, so I really don't know about that. Mm-hmm. Your dishes are cleaner.
No water spots on your car on the weekend.
Exactly, or your boat.
Yeah.
Everything begins with softening of the water.
Right.
We have, on average, the way water is measured, the hardness, is in grains per gallon.
Right.
less than 1 grain per gallon, and it's a grain of either calcium or magnesium, less than 1 grain is the definition of soft water.
Right.
That's how that works out in a science sense. The definition of very hard water is 14 or more grains per gallon. Average in Jacksonville, drum roll.
17. I think the hardest water in the country. Some of the hardest water in the country.
I don't know that factually, but some we know that it is, by government standards, in the category of extremely hard water. There's nothing.
Extremely hard.
There's no category above the category we're in. So everything begins with softening.
Right.
No matter what other goofball things you do or what you're sold or told, if you don't begin with softening, you're not optimizing the real situation.
Test it when you begin, test it when you're finished.
Test in, test out.
Should say hard when you're 17 when you begin. It should be below 1 when you begin. If it's not, then it's not soft water.
And it's specifically testing hardness. It's not doing some magic test where it goes from blue to green.
Oh, yeah.
It is, what is the hardness of my water?
Right.
How many grains?
Standardized test.
Yes. So then, now that you've got soft water distributed through your house, there becomes the question of, would I also like to treat or improve or purify or modify the water that I'm consuming?
Mm.
And the state actually recommends point source treatment, meaning there's no need to do this anything else to the whole house. It's where you're consuming, which is specifically the kitchen sink, and or your water softener, so you make nice ice cubes. So there's multiple things they can do there at affordable water. It's as simple as filtration, which is a whole another subset of what am I filtering for? What is the modality of this particular filtration? So you're making essentially science-backed decisions,
right,
not sales and marketing and scare technique decisions, so that your water will be precisely what you want to do. If you would like to be in a position that Larry and I are in, to understand how to make these decisions in a non-threatening way, a highly ethical way, the folks at Affordable Water, they have the background, they have the license, they understand the science, and they are ridiculously passionate about the quality of the water in your home, and more so than just scary nonsense stuff. So the website, there's a lot of good information there, too, affordablewaterjacks.com. Know them, like them, trust them, and they're pleasant to have in your home.
Right.
Unlike
exactly.
So many
just,
others.
Get the job done correctly.
Yeah, it's a greasy business.
Yes.
720 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Brief break, jumping right on the phones to your calls at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 726 here at News 104.5. Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections, Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden, enjoying the day together, taking your calls at 855-765-1045. Jumping over to the glorious neighborhood of Springfield, Janie checking in with us. Janie, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Hey, Wally. Thank you so much. It's so beautiful today. We're enjoying the birds and the flowers and everything.
You are just that kind of girl then, Janie. So, Janie,
yep,
you did something pretty interesting recently. You just sold one of the most unique and historically significant homes in all of Jacksonville. Give me a real quickie on what was so special about that home.
Well, Wally, this is an amazing home. It is one of the 5 oldest homes in Duval County, located on the riverbank just next to Empire Point. The home was built in the 1870s by an amazing man, Colonel Glengarry, who himself led a life of adventure and prestige and just everything. And then the Suttis family of Suttis Logistics bought it back in the 50s and have had it through 3 generations, and was just bringing it to the market after owning it for, 60
nice,
plus years.
Nice. And I know for a fact that you did something rather creative as a real estate agent with the Home Pro pre-listing inspection. You took a house that was quite unique. It was unique. It's 1870s. and used a pre-listing inspection, and you had four offers and sold the home in 18 days. That's unheard of. How'd that happen?
So as you know, I specialize in historic and architecturally significant unique homes, and one of the normal things that goes along with a home like that is they typically are older and can be lovely but scary to prospective buyers. So I always suggest getting a pre-inspection for the seller so that we know what's up with the house and can make those kind of repairs or take care of things before we get into contract and then have the deal fall apart because
that makes you a genius, Janie.
I have to give a lot of credit to the Sutta family because they were picture perfect sellers and they just did everything we suggested.
Hey, let me share something with you. You don't yet know, Janie. Here's something crazy. With the Home Pros partnership with Residential Warranty Services, this didn't apply 3 weeks ago when we did this other thing with Sutta. Here's the deal. Home Pro inspects the property for a pre-listing inspection, right, for the seller. If the buyer's inspector comes along and discovers a problem with the property, an issue with the condition of the property that wasn't noted on the Home Pro inspection, we will pay the mortgage payment for up to 3 months of any delay caused by that new issue. Three months, $5,000, whichever one comes first. So it's good. It validates, Janie, what you've learned over the years as a very successful real estate agent. Homes that are inspected at the time they go on the market, they sell for more money in less time and typically with more offers. And when it works with a property as crazy as that Sutta estate, it can work anywhere. So it's remarkable, and I appreciate your trust in sharing that with us. It's 7:30 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. 7:36 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. We just love taking your calls at 855-765-1045. And a special shout out to all our wonderful friends listening online at WOKV.com. All of our special friends who are watching and listening to the live stream on Facebook, and all of our wonderful friends who are listening and watching on the YouTube live stream. So it's really been fun since the station has helped us here, and our fine producers, Chris and Scott, have helped us to reach places all around the world over the last, 2 months that we've been doing the live stream, in addition to all the other good things we're doing here. We've had callers from Australia.
Yeah.
We've had callers from France and
Peru.
Yep. And I'm going to guess over the last month, about 8 different states.
Yeah.
So it's really pretty neat. We're really grateful for all of you who are out there, certainly here in Jacksonville. Grateful for the great support you always show to Larry's Garden during the week and Home Pro Inspections during the week. It's just been super fun going intergalactic here. What would really make it great?
What's that?
If anyone can help influence this.
What's that?
If we got a call from the International Space Station.
Yeah, that would be unbelievable.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Yes.
Kind of cool.
We have to make our own plaques for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you never know.
Yes.
Lots and lots of people, about 700 people in the greater Jacksonville area, that is with this, in the sound of our voices over the radio stream, not the people in the rest of the world, about 700 will be purchasing a home, writing a contract this particular weekend. It's really pretty crazy. One of the things that's typically in that purchase and sale agreement is the opportunity for you to have a home inspection. That's a good thing. We'll take care of that. But there's also an opportunity to have what's called a WDO inspection, wood destroying organism inspection, commonly known as a termite inspection, though it's much broader than that. There are very few things in the real estate transaction where there's more confusion and more animosity between buyer and seller, but even between the real estate agents and the lender and the appraiser and all this other nonsense that goes on around this WDO inspection report. There is a website that brings clarity to that, and that website is WDOHelp.com. WDOHelp.com. And the kind of things that it can solve there for you is, Who regulates this report? What's the form look like? What are the instructions that that inspector is required to use? What about a structural letter? Very often, if there's some problem on the WDO, some indication of damage, a lender might say, I need a structural letter. What does that mean? How is that written? All that is at WDOhelp.com. What about moisture meters? What about infrared cameras? Probing. This drives people nuts.
What's that?
So to do a WDO inspection correctly, the state describes the technique of sounding and probing. So sounding, banging on stuff. If you're banging on stuff, not to deface it intentionally, you're tapping on it to hear, does it sound solid? And when you, something sounds different. When it sounds different, usually that means there's damage. So then you're authorized to probe. And the probing is where sellers really get upset.
When you stick that pick in there.
Yeah. Well, don't use a pick. Use a screwdriver or a somewhat rounded pick. Yeah. But anyway, you cannot damage good wood.
Right.
You only damage rotted wood. And that's why the
state... You're not going to be able to penetrate it.
Exactly. So there's no one goes and intentionally destroys another person's home.
Right.
However, the probing is authorized by the state. It's described by the state as a part of the inspection.
Right.
Quite frankly, if there's not sounding and not probing and the inspector misses something, the state then calls that a faulty WDO and pursues the inspector and smacks them and beats them up.
Yeah.
So to understand how all of that works and how the photos go into the whole thing, WDOhelp.com. There's also some great tips there to prevent and detect termites in your home that you can do yourself. One of the ones we talk about all the time, Larry, is keeping the mulch away and don't stack firewood. It's got all the tips and techniques so that you can do those things in your home on your own. Then when it's time to sell your home and the WDO inspector is coming along, executing the protocol by the state, it will be less likely when they sound, they'll hear a hollow or damaging sound and less likely to probe, and you just make more money in your house. So that's my story on that, WDOhelp.com. A lot of times people get mad about the WDO.
When they see they pull out that screwdriver on their, you know. But you it's true. You can't, if you've got solid wood, you're not going to be able to push it.
No.
I mean, not with out considerable force.
The idea is not the considerable force. That's
just
why
enough to lightly pressure and see if it pops through. Then you got the wood's rotted.
Exactly.
You know, it's very easy. Don't get nervous. That means it's got to be replaced anyway.
Exactly true. Which goes back to that's why people like Janie and other professionals, they do all those inspections up front, so that outside of the fear of the buyer and outside of all the pressure in the transaction, you can discover the situation, solve the situation, or otherwise address or disclose the situation, and you're in control.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing. We should do pre-listing lawn inspections.
Yes. Hey, you know,
not
nothing,
me, you.
I mean, nothing's right until the lawn's right. I mean, when we were working at this lady's house in Deerwood, and she said, it gave us a great compliment, said her lawn hadn't looked as good as that in 30 years. But, you know, when her lawn was right and she had our borders mulched and looking fresh, her flowers were in bloom, you know, we treated her flower bed for fungus, which is a Pythium, you know, which she had a
Pythium.
And this kept coming back and damaging her flowers. So we treated that. We trimmed her trees, recovered her holly. Worked on her damaged Japanese yews, which they got some. One of them came back strong, the other one. But basically got everything pruned up, looking good. And when the lawn is right, it looked great. Even my some of my workers said, man, this looks great.
Good.
You know. So if you're thinking about selling your house, it's one of the key things. I mean, we worked on projects together on that one house in Arlington years ago. But one of the key things is getting the lawn looking good. Because, you know, worn out lawn is going to slow down the process of sailing. You know, it doesn't look inviting. It doesn't put all the pieces together. So making sure that looks good.
You can get it crispened up pretty quick. Get it nice and groomed.
Right.
Flash a little green in there. Stick some annuals out there.
You know, but as a man, you can get it pretty
good. It's a difference.
You can get it looking good now. You know, with the dry heat, advantage of dry heat right now, you're not going to have much leaf fungus. You know, so you can apply a little bit more fertilizer this time of the year when because the dry heat is not going to allow too much fungicide on the funguses to attack the leaf fungus. But, you know, getting a good looking is one of the key things you're selling. But, you know, when you're looking at getting into late summer and what to look, what will look good in the late summer, some of the underused plants that produce a lot of flowers for a relatively low cost. You know, they're tough plants. The Rose of Sharon is a deciduous hibiscus. You know, it's a hibiscus.
Deciduous hibiscus. That sounds cool.
Yeah, yeah, yes. It's a cold hardy, completely cold hardy. It grows, you know, can grow in the Midwest. It's a hibiscus is gigantic amount of plants. You know, they're perennial type. They have the cold hardy, the tropical type, but it works well as a hedge. You know, most people don't think of it as a hedge because it gets kind of tall, but it takes a lot of pruning. So you could get hibiscus, the Rose of Sharon. They have a white chiffon. These ones are these types that will bloom continuously during the season. They rebloom and rebloom and rebloom is white chiffon or pink chiffon or some of the Southern Living or the proven winter types, and plant it along the foundation instead of your regular, maybe ligustrum. The only downside is it's going to be deciduous, so it's going to lose its leaves. So if you have a forward planting, maybe a boxwood or something in front of it, but it's a great plant, and it doesn't grow aggressively. So that's another big benefit of this plant. It grows somewhat. You know, it's a medium to slow grower. And, again, we're getting rid of that pruning. If you want one of those big hedges, too, I mean, there's Viburnum otissimus, which is a fast-growing big hedge plant getting around 30 feet. But I'm continuously seeing the benefits of a live oak hedge. I mean, you're talking about a live oak. If you want a hedge that's...
How do you do that?
You just plant a row of live oaks and you start pruning them. They make the...
Like a giant bonsai.
Yes. And they make the most dense, opaque hedges you've ever seen.
Never seen that.
I've seen them use a couple of...
Local?
And yes, locally. And then, plus in Italy, they have some unbelievable hedges made out of oaks. But tall, you know, 30 or 40 feet. But if you want a hedge, you know, the advantage of having...
That's my kind of hedge. 30 or 40 feet tall. I would like that around my whole...
Oh, yeah. It's
yard.
Oh, yeah. That garden has been fought over many times.
It's, like Tivoli or one of those places?
Yeah, one of those. Yes, it's been fought over by invading armies in Italy several times. But, you know, live oaks as a hedge is not a bad plant. It never needs watering. Okay, once it gets established, it never gets watered. It's completely dense.
This is a lifelong project, though.
No, they respond fairly quickly.
What's
they respond,
fairly quickly?
Say a couple of years, 3 years.
Really?
They get tall? Depends on how much fertilizer you can put on them. But you can plant one around 6 feet, and you start pruning the tip, spraying the tip. It will get full and full and nice looking.
Can you see through it?
You cannot see through a live oak hedge. It's not gappy at all. Gappy at all. And the advantage of a live oak hedge, if you're versus a Viburnum otissimus hedge, is that the live oak hedge, once you get it going, it's a fairly slow growing hedge. You know, versus a Viburnum otissimus is going to grow 6 to 7 inches a week if it gets enough rain, and it's easy to control. So if you want to cut back, let's say if you have you're going to be living in the house for a while. So if you want to cut back, if it's getting too tall, you can cut back a live oak. And you notice how live oaks, when you cut them back, they have all those little water spouts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that will do the same thing. You know, from the edges, it will cut back and fill in. So very easy to control.
So that's how it fills out. It's growing those
little water spouts.
What do you call those?
Water spouts. We call them water spouts. Huh. But a live oak hedge, and you can get one of the smaller growing live oaks, like you know, Hightower, which is a good smaller growing, more upright growth. It tries to maintain its central leader, but it's a great choice. You know, for if you want one of those bamboo type, low, tall,
I like
low
that.
Pruning, easy to prune. You know, you got a pole pruner, you could easily prune it. It has the stems, the terminal ends are very small in diameter. So you don't have those. When you're looking at ligustrum, you know, you're talking about an inch and a half stem. And, you know, where you, live oak is very, very twiggy at the terminal portions. But I've seen many live oaks pruned into topiary where there's, the trunk was, maybe 12 inches in diameter, and but a beautiful topiary. And, so consider live oak. And then, of course, you know, it drops its leaves once a year. You got to rake a lot of raking to do, you know, those live oaks, and it's like a snowstorm. So those are some great ideas for hedging material. And, you know, besides a regular viburnum otissimus, which, it requires a tremendous amount of pruning, you know,
which would mature faster, fill in faster, if I did it in bamboo or I did it as a live oak?
Well, bamboo, this is the fastest growing plant in the world.
Okay.
You know, next to kelp. You know, so you can get a 20-foot stand of bamboo, the 2 foot in diameter in 18 months, 24 months. It's there's nothing that can provide its nicest hedge as bamboo as quickly as it does, with the smallest amount of footprint.
I like that.
Yeah.
7:50 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Brief break, jumping right on the phone to your calls at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. 7:55 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Grateful that you've been with us. We're checking in with Patrick on the south side. He's got some thoughts on Larry's idea for an oak tree hedge. Welcome, Patrick.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a new home I just moved into, a new construction build, and I have two oak trees that you're more than welcome to come over and pull out of the ground.
Pull them out of the ground.
Well, you don't like live oaks?
No, I prefer palm trees. I don't want those.
Okay, no problem. Yeah. Yeah, palms are nice. You know, you got to think about Bismarck palm if you want something a little different. Bismarck palm's an interesting palm, a little silver blue leaf. And
how tall?
Oh, it gets big. It gets big. It's a big palm. But Bismarck's an interesting palm if it goes with your color choice.
I do have a question about the emerald green. I've noticed there's some palmetto bushes that have more of the, I guess, your traditional green, palmetto green, and then I've seen ones that have that closer to that Bismarck.
Yeah, okay.
Green. So is that a different kind of palmetto, or are they the same?
Yeah, Cinerea serranoa.
Is that native to Florida?
Yeah. It's a very silvery color, slow growing, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful, and I think it's I've planted it before, and I've looked at ones that I planted that are over 15 years old. It stays more in place. It doesn't really run out like your palmettos. So,
are there growers that have those?
Oh yeah. I planted them as a landscape plant, and they'll get around about 8 to 10 feet tall.
They're about 20 years.
But it takes around maybe, around 10 to 15. Yeah, 10 to 15. But they're a slow grower and they don't run out. That's a good thing about them. I just looked at a place, that's about 10 years. I'll get that. But, I looked at a place I did around 10 years ago and I planted them as a landscape plant, and they're impressive. They're impressive. Neat, clean, and not running out. More upright grower.
Okay, well, I have two oak trees. Anybody's interested, 12, 15
feet high. Okay, thanks for calling. It's all right. Have a great day.
Thanks, Patrick. And should you need a landscaper,
yes.
Easy to find Larry during the week, larrysgarden.com. The telephone number, 346-1970. If you're outside of Jacksonville, you need the area code, 904-346-1970. For you fortunate people out writing a contract for a home this particular weekend, go homepro.com. And we have folks standing by, account managers all weekend long at 904-268-8211. You have a beautiful day. Use your turn signal. Be safe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.